Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
And I'm excited about what the Lord is revealing to me because we need it in this day and time. John chapter 14, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I'm talking to you about the second part, walking in the anointing of Jesus. You may be seated. We are living in new territory, new times, difficult times. But this is a promise from Jesus Christ himself to this generation that we will do greater works than Christ did in his 3.5-year ministry. And his ministry was amazing. But he said, greater works than these shall you do. The Bible said of his government, there is no end to the increase. It will continue to increase. I'm not sure that the anointing increases as much as our understanding of it increases and our usage of it increases. But the basis for this message is that Jesus Christ came, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ was and is God. The Bible said he's the expressed image of the invisible God. So he came, Emmanuel, God with us. He also came as the first begotten Son of God. And secondly, he referred to himself as the Son of Man. So he filled a trinity of roles as God, as the Son of God, and as the Son of Man. All of these were filled by Christ. And people have said continuously when you say something to them, they say, well, I say, Jesus taught you. They say, well, I'm not Jesus. And that's true, we are not. The Bible said that we are called of that name, though. The whole family is called of that name. And the Bible said that Jesus, not ashamed to call us brethren. That puts us in pretty high company. It tells us that we are not normal, but we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. You are a new creature. If you've been born again, Jesus said you can't see the kingdom of God except you be born again. If you've been born again, you're different from the run-of-mill human being that lives on the face of this earth. You are a born-again creation. That puts you in a new place that the average person never lives in. So the basis for this message is that Jesus, God, Jesus the Son of God, Jesus the Son of Man, when he came to this earth, he lived a relatively normal life for 30 years. There's no record that for the first 30 years of Jesus' life that he did any miracles. I saw a guy preaching one time and he was talking about how Jesus worked in Joseph's carpenter shop, and if the table leg wasn't right, he would just lengthen it. That's absolutely not true. There is no record that Christ performed any miracles his first 30 years on this earth. The Bible said he was just tempted, but he did not succumb to any of those temptations. So the basis for this message is that Jesus Christ, the God of the universe. The Bible said there wasn't anything that was made that was not made by him. But that was before he came to this earth. That Jesus Christ, the God incarnate, did not use his deity in his 3.5-year ministry. That instead, he used his anointing. The Bible tells us that he instructed us that we would do greater things in the end time. How can we do that? Not through our intellect, not through our ability, but through the anointing. And it was the same anointing that was on Christ. And the Bible teaches us about that anointing. It says, I read to those, or shared those scriptures with you last Sunday a number of times about the anointing of Christ. Now, the Bible said Jesus was anointed, and Jesus was anointed. Time and time again, it says that. But I wanted to share with you this passage. This is Luke 3:21. Now, when all the people were being baptized, you understand that John the Baptist had come as the forerunner of Christ. He was preaching. He was baptizing in converts. The Bible said he was baptizing them under repentance. And this is where this passage takes up. John the Baptist was baptizing people. And now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. What is this? This is a picture of the anointing of Christ. What happened? He was baptized, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove unto him. The doves always symbolizes the Holy Spirit in the Scripture. A voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And the Bible said in another portion, And he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. This was where Christ received the anointing that the Scripture talks about. It is when he was baptized, the dove came upon him, symbolizing that he was being anointed and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, next Sunday we'll talk about the resurrection. The Bible said the Holy Ghost resurrected him out of the grave. The Holy Spirit was the anointing that was on God. It came to pass, and this is now after Jesus got, right after he got anointed, the first thing he did was go to church. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And this is what he read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He didn't just flop it open. He found the place where he wanted to read, because this is what he wanted to say. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me. He hath anointed me. He hath anointed me. It's very important that you see that, that Jesus was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus received his ministry anointing at 30 years of age. I shared that with you just now. And so Jesus' baptism was where his anointing happened. That's where he declared that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Then he went to the temple and read the scripture, said, Now the Lord has anointed me. And right after that is when he worked his first miracle at Cana. He never worked a miracle until he was anointed when he was baptized. Then he went to the church, stood up and said, I am now anointed. And then he went down, was invited to the marriage at Cana, which would be his first miracle, where he would turn the water into wine. I heard somebody talking about that. They said there was about 380 gallons of water. That's a lot of wine. But Jesus turned that water into wine. But this is what I want you to understand. There is no record that for 30 years, Jesus was ever asked by his mother to perform a miracle. She treated him like a normal son. But she recognized that something had happened at his baptism, that he had been anointed. He was no longer her little boy. He was now the anointed Son of God walking this earth. And she felt free to ask him to turn the water into wine. She had never done that before. She recognized his anointing. What I'm saying to you today is, ladies and gentlemen, that Christ performed all of his works, not through his deity, but the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Why is that important? Because we're living in a time where we need the ministry of Christ. But you're never going to be deity. To even want to be deity is a sin. That's what Satan wanted. He wanted to be God. You're never going to be God. But when you give your life to Christ, you're born again, you're baptized, and you receive the Holy Spirit, what happens? Just like happened to Jesus, the anointing comes upon you. And we should feel free now to call you into the ministry, just like Jesus' mother Mary called him to the ministry and said, "You're anointed." It's time for you just to quit being a normal person. You are now the anointed Son of God. And there are needs in this world, and your anointing will give you the power to work the works. And Jesus said, "I'm doing it, but greater works than these shall you do." What I am submitting to you today, ladies and gentlemen, is that all across this building, not everybody, but every one of you that have given your life to Christ, been truly born again, been baptized in water, followed his example and his commandments, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that the same anointing that was on Christ is on you. And you have to realize that we do not look at ourselves as grasshoppers. We do not minimize who we are, but we maximize who we are, that we are now the sons of God, regardless of your gender. That's the reason why the Bible said there's neither male nor female, because it doesn't matter about your gender. You are anointed with the same anointing that was on Christ, and Christ expects us to walk in that anointing just like he did. And when Mary, the mother of Jesus, recognized that anointing, well, she called him forth. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that there is an anointing on you so strongly, and it is going to be recognized by people around you, and you are going to be called on to do supernatural things. I had a friend call me 3 days ago, He said, "My daddy," I know his father, he's a pastor, was a pastor, he's retired now, he's 84 years of age. He said, "I don't take prayer requests lightly." Why? Because I've got an anointing on me. I've got the same anointing that Jesus had on him. So he called me from Louisiana. He said, "I'm rushing to the hospital. My daddy fell. He's got a bad brain bleed. They're going to have to operate, give him no chance at all." And I said to him, "Brent," I said, "I'm going to pray." I went to prayer and I called him and I said, "I've got a word from the Lord." He said, "What is that?" I said, "When you get to the hospital, your daddy's going to be able to talk to you. The doctors are going to run their test, and tomorrow they're going to come back and say the bleeding has stopped. We don't know why, but we don't need a surgery, and we're going to send him home." So Brent called me yesterday. He said, "Brother Steve," he said, "I just came from the hospital." He said, "Exactly like you said. My daddy talked to me, said there's nothing wrong with him. The doctor said not only did the bleed quit, the blood that was around his brain evaporated. It's gone. They got him up and sent him home. He's healed in Jesus' name." I was called upon. Do you understand that nothing that's done in seminary can prepare me for that? Do you understand that 48 years of pastoring can't prepare me for that? But do you understand the same anointing that was on Jesus Christ resides on you and on me? And if we will begin to recognize that anointing and begin to walk in it, as this world crumbles before our eyes, we are going to be messengers of God. We are going to be anointed of the Lord. We are going to do miracles, and our family and our friends are going to begin to see that. And praise God, the signs that Jesus promised us in Mark 16 are going to begin to happen. The Bible said you've come to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. You say, "Well, why haven't I done it before? I've been baptized for years, and I've had the Holy Spirit for years." You've come to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. This is the time of your anointing. The Mary symbolized the church. The church is the mother of us all. And the church is calling on you. It's time for you to turn the water into wine. It's time for you to open the blind eyes. It's time for you to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It's time for you to cast out devils. Ladies and gentlemen, I am making a clarion call to you as the senior and founding pastor of this church that you know and recognize that you are not a normal human. You're not even a normal Christian. You are a born-again, fire-baptized son of the living God, and you've got anointing on you. And when you speak, your words have weight. And when you touch, your hands have power. I send you out as sheep among wolves, telling you that God will be your protector. But I send you out to save the lost. I send you out to bind sins. I send you out to heal the sick. I send you out to preach the gospel. I send you out to bind up the broken heart. Ladies and gentlemen, this world is in a collapse syndrome, and the only hope is the church of the living God. But it's not the church with a tract and a parroted testimony. It is a church that is walking in the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is in this room right now, and your prayer would be, God, let me wake up to my anointing, because I've got kids that are going to hell if I do not wake up to my anointing. I've got friends that are going to be lost unless I wake up to my anointing. I've got people that are going to die prematurely unless I wake up to my anointing. It's time for you to walk in the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ and turn your world upside down. Jesus limited himself in his 3.5 years to the anointing that you have. And Jesus could have called 10,000 angels, but he said, they won't be able to do that, so I won't do that. Jesus didn't make worlds while he was on this earth. For 3.5 years, Jesus Christ limited himself to his anointing that you now possess. And so when you see Christ perform miracles in the Bible, realize that I can perform those same miracles because the anointing of the Lord is on me. Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, turned these stones into bread. He said, I'm not going to do that because my people won't do that. We're not going to work miracles that are unnecessary. We're not going to have gimmicks, but we're going to have real miracles. Miracles that will bind up the broken heart. Miracles that will heal the sick. In some cases, miracles raise the dead. You say, you really believe that? I believe it can happen. A friend of mine pastored in North Carolina was preaching just like I'm preaching when one of his ushers fell out in the floor, just fell out of the pew in the floor. Healthcare givers in the building rushed to him. And while the pastor paused, they pronounced him dead. They came with an ambulance, picked him up, took him to the hospital. The pastor turned to the assistant pastor, said, finish. I'm going with our brother. As that assistant pastor was finishing his message, that pastor and that man that had died walked back in that building. And he said, when we got to the hospital, they pronounced him dead again. But I got in that ambulance, and I prayed in the name of Jesus. Said, the man's only 50 years of age, and it was an untimely death. And he came back to life in the name of Jesus Christ. I've told you the story about Odessa, Texas, where a great, great preacher pastored that church. And as his son took the church, and it was a very legalistic church. One of their teachings was that women could not wear slacks or shorts. They were very legalistic. There was a woman that sang in their choir. She went to work as an EMS technician, and she had to wear scrubs. And so she went to her pastor and said, Pastor, I know we can't wear slacks in this church, but she said, I've got to wear them. Is that all right? And he said, well, it's all right, but you can't sing in the choir. A few days later, she was in the hospital or in the ambulance with a man that died. The doctor was with them, pronounced him dead, and she said, "Doctor, can I pray for him?" Said, "It won't hurt nothing now." She prayed for him and came back to life. And the doctor testified that he was dead, but now he lives. And the senior pastor said, "We've got a problem in our church. We've got a woman that can raise the dead, but we can't let her sing in the choir. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to quit majoring in minors, and we're going to start majoring in majors. And the major is that all people be saved, that the glory of God fall, that miracles happen, that the sick get well, that the dead come to life, that the lost are saved, that the blind see, that the deaf hear, that the dumb speak." Say, how's it going to happen? It's going to happen when you realize who you are. There's not a herd of you in your neighborhood. You might be the only one in the neighborhood that is walking in the anointing of Jesus Christ. That means that neighborhood is your parish. Get busy. Save the lost. Bind up the broken heart. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Realize who you are. Let's stand on our feet. Lift both hands and claim our anointing in the name of Jesus Christ. Claim your anointing. The same anointing that Jesus Christ had. You ain't never going to be Jesus, but you can have his anointing. And if you have his anointing, greater works than these shall you do. When you realize who you are, your faith will increase off the chart. You will realize when you reach out to touch somebody, it's not my flesh. It's that same anointing that Jesus had. It's on me. It's on me. I can work mighty works. I can change circumstance. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Spirit in this room. I feel the anointing of the Lord in this room right now. In Jesus' name. What's in this room? The anointing of Jesus Christ. Anything that happened in the confinement of his 3.5-year ministry can happen in this building right now. That means if there's a broken heart, it can be bound. That means if there's somebody that's never heard the gospel, you can be born again. That means if you're sick, Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Was Jesus Christ just wasting his breath? Is that a foolish promise? No, ladies and gentlemen, that is a promise of the end time. I talked to you last week about the last words of Jesus. Last words are important. One of the last words he had was Mark chapter 16. "These signs shall follow them that believe." Jesus was looking forward to this generation. Jesus was looking forward to Tanya, to Charles. He was looking forward to Michael and Reva, Trish. He was looking forward to Kenneth and Steve and Becky. He was looking forward. And he said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Just because the dead church down the road thinks we're already radical, that should not limit us from fulfilling the anointing of Jesus Christ in these last days. We should be performing miracles that the news media tries to hush up, because they can't believe that it's possible. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason why I'm asking the Lord to let me live to the rapture, or at least the next decade, because I want to see what's going to happen with the church of the living God. It is going to be miraculous. I'm going to say to you today, if you're not saved, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you're not baptized in water, if you're not falling with Christ, if you're not born again, you don't have this anointing. But the truth is, most people in this building have repented. You've been baptized. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're walking with the Lord every day. Most people in this building are in that category. That means you've got an anointing on you. Whether you use it or not, you've got an anointing on you. John Kennedy was rich beyond belief. I got worried about the Kennedys 20 years ago. There's so many of them. They spend money like drunken sailors. I said, they're going to run out. I did a research on the wealth of the Kennedys. Hey, don't pray for them. They're going to be all right, okay? They got money you ain't even thought of. John Kennedy never carried a dollar with him anywhere he went. He was so rich, he didn't have to carry it. When he would go somewhere and he wanted something to eat, he'd just say, I don't have no money with me. And his friends would always buy it. He was campaigning for president. He went to a Baptist church, being a Catholic. They took an offering. He said, I don't have no money. His friend had to give his offering. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't know how rich I am. I'm so rich, I ain't even carrying it. Because when I need it, my friend that sticketh closer than a brother, he's there. He's there. And the anointing I have is so strong that you don't even know about it. But my friend just gives me his anointing. And so if you're in this building today and you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to get baptized. You need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. But if you have already experienced any of those, you need to begin to recognize your anointing. You say, oh, man, I think I want to become a preacher. We got a million of us. We don't need more preachers. We need more anointed people working miracles. Say, Pastor, I'd like to have your job. I promise you, if you go get somebody out of the hospital that's dying with AIDS tonight, you'll be more famous than I am tomorrow. Your anointing breaks the yoke. Your anointing is going to make a way for you. Your anointing is going to make you be who God saw you. And Mary that never, ever recognized a miracle is suddenly calling for a miracle. Your own mother-in-law is going to recognize what God's going to do on you. You've got friends and enemies that are going to recognize there's a new anointing in their life. If you've got it, I want you to share it. But if you want to say, I want that anointing to be activated in my life, Pastor, I want you to rush this altar right now and say, there's going to be a new me at home tonight. There's going to be a new me on the job tomorrow. There's going to be a new me the rest of my life.